The day's biggest stories, the people behind the headlines, the conversations you won't hear anywhere else. I'm Christy Strasser. You're listening to Odyssey's On Deadline. This week, wildfires left Minnesota, Michigan, the East Coast, and more with the worst air quality in the world. Just going outside was dangerous. Floods struck Texas. A parasite is making people across the country sick. Ice shot and killed another motorist. Crisis is everywhere. So how are we supposed to react? Here's KCBS in the Bay Area.
We are now living in a world with one crisis after another, trade wars, actual wars, climate change, crop failures, etc., etc. So how should we invest our money when the environment is so insecure? For a closer look, Michael Yoshikami, CEO and founder of Destination Wealth Management. Now, Michael, I think just to start this off, how do you interpret the future in light of just general, very broad uncertainty about the world these days?
Well, you know, Danny, it's really a sad thing I'm about to say, but it's kind of the world we live in now, and I don't think it's going to change. I mean, everyone is kind of saying, when will things calm down? And the reality is, we are so connected by media, social media. Everybody can react all at the same time, real-time basis. So it's going to be continuing to be a very, very uncertain world. Obviously, what's happening in Iran right now is not making things any better. But that's the reality. That's why you have to invest on the assumption craziness will continue.
Are there any types of investments that people should not pursue at this point, things that they should be wary of given this moment?
Well, I think a lot of it depends on the person. But I think the more risky the assets, the more what we call are stretched valuations, companies whose prices really can't be justified by the amount of profit they're making. These are the companies, particularly when markets are at all-time high, and we have such uncertainty that you have to really be careful about. So look at your portfolio, find out what you think is really highly fluctuating. Even if it's gone up a lot, that's fluctuation. Maybe it's time to take some profit and just kind of center back a little bit in anticipation of continued volatility.
Well, there's never a sure thing, but what are some low risk, generally good things to be looking at this point, given that, you know, there's so much that can be in flux? I mean, I sometimes check my retirement accounts and I'm baffled by the daily fluctuations. What do you think is something that maybe is more slow and steady, it's long-term going to be helpful for you?
Well, slow and steady tends to really come down to three categories. The first of all, excluding real estate, the first of all is cash money market, which is not paying a horrible rate of return, 3-4%. Granted, it's probably breaking even with inflation, but not bad. And then you have bonds that can go out to 5 to 10 years. I wouldn't go out past 10 years. And then you have more dividend paying stocks that are more mature companies where you can be assured of some sort of income streams.
I just want to ask you one more question about when it comes to when people are deciding where to put their money, what should be going through their mind in this moment of uncertainty above all else?
I think what's really important is understanding how much pain you can take on the downside. I mean, the bottom line is, volatility is what is most frightening for people, particularly people moving towards retirement. So I think the big thing that you need to be concerned about is how much downdraft, how much downside can you live with? If your portfolio is set up with more potential downside than you can live with, you might very well make a bad decision at the worst possible time. So I think that's what people have to be aware of.
Here's a closer look at the natural disasters that are sweeping the U.S., starting with KRLD in Dallas.
Governor Abbott is sounding the alarm for those living in southern portions of Texas.
The governor has already issued a disaster declaration for the state, which activates well over 1,000 state personnel from 30 different agencies working to save lives. So far, 75 people have been rescued, and the governor says the good news is that there have been no reported deaths.
We face what was categorized as life-threatening catastrophic floods. More rain than what occurred during the flood last year.
But he warns drivers about getting out on roads that have been subjected to heavy flooding.
There will be a lot of rising water over the next 24 to 48 hours. Or there could be dangers by people being close to rapidly rising rivers.
Agencies from Louisiana and Oklahoma are helping out as well.
That's the water. How about the wildfires?
Amid this brutal heat, AccuWeather also issuing an air quality alert due to the wildfire smoke. coming from Canada, and that can create trouble for people with asthma and other lung issues. Dr. Garen Wolf, DMC Harper Family Medicine doctor and allergy expert, joining us on the live line this morning. Thanks for joining us, first of all. So what can people with compromised lung issues, how can they protect themselves during this air quality alert?
Yeah. So first, you want to limit your outdoor activities. So whenever the humidity index and the heat index gets to kind of where it is now, plus we have the wildfires, which results both result in poor air quality, you want to limit your outdoors activities. So picnics are out. Running, not best for this type of weather. Number two, you want to make sure you have your asthma inhaler. So for those who do have asthma or have other lung diseases such as COPD or fibrosis, which is thickening of the lungs, you want to make sure you have your inhaler with you at all times and make sure you have your rescue inhaler. Third, you want to make sure you have easy access to areas that have air conditioning, libraries and some churches that people can go.
So tell us, what's the science behind why the humidity makes it so difficult for people to breathe?
Yeah, so, you know, the heat is one thing, and we've had hot weather. We're talking in the, you know, 70s and 80s, but the humidity is what really makes it worse. It's what makes the lungs constrict, which means like tighten, and it just makes breathing worse. So the humidity factor is what's making this entire situation worse for not only people who have compromised lungs, but people who have healthy lungs as well.
Yeah, better for your bones, but not so great for your breathing.
Exactly.
So what are the warning signs that you're starting to have trouble, and when should you call 911?
Well, you know, if you have shortness of breath, this is shortness of breath, whether you are walking or whether you are sedentary, so while you're sitting down, if you start wheezing, that's a whistling noise that people can hear. That, of course, chest tightness, sometimes chest pain, and coughing a lot. All four of those are indicators of an asthma exacerbation, which is our medical term for asthma flare, which means that the lungs are starting to twitch. I kind of call it twitching. The lungs are twitching, and that's when you know you need to use your inhaler. If a puff or two from your inhaler does not help these symptoms, then you need to call 911 and or call your healthcare provider.
And so these lung issues, completely different than heat exhaustion. That's a separate health issue altogether, isn't it?
Very different.
Yeah.
Yes.
Could you explain that?
That is very true. Yeah. So with this situation, this targets the lung specifically. So this targets the whole respiratory apparatus. With heat exhaustion, that is the entire body. And so people can have heart issues. People can have cramping in their legs, et cetera. So heat exhaustion affects the entire body. And the heat that we're experiencing that can affect the lungs, or people with asthma, just specifically affects the lungs. However, that's a very important system, because what does oxygen do? Oxygen brings nutrients to your brain. And so when your lungs are compromised or damaged or stressed, they can result in decreased oxygen to the brain, which is what we don't want. Use your inhaler, get to an area that's air conditioned, make sure you hydrate yourself.
All right. Well, Dr. Garen Wolf, DMC Harper Family Medicine doctor and allergy experts.
What's it like to be trapped in the wildfires? Here's WCCO in Minneapolis.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Evacuations and rescues now happening in the BWCA. Very tense situation as people who went into the boundary waters expecting a nice, relaxing journey are now being forced out because of wildfires, including our next two guests, Dalton Lammers and Quinn Lammers, who had to be evacuated from the BWCA. Dalton, let me start with you.
Well, we plan a trip once a year, try and get out, get in nature, disconnect a little bit. We went in on a Sunday. We knew that there would be a fire ban due to just excessive heat. It was really hot out there. We went through just, it felt like water bottle after water bottle, just trying to get in. The wind was also very fierce out there. We were fighting against the wind, it felt, almost the entire time. We ended up getting to our site after about 4 hours. It was very beautiful, very wonderful spot, but there was wildfire smoke in the distance from the moment we got there till the following day.
Dalton,
and then,
let me just ask a question here.
Sure.
Why would you choose to stay? You know, you're seeing wildfire smoke, you're saying it's hard with the wind. Are these conditions that, like, you've had before and it's worked out, or they've died down? Like, it seems like you're putting yourself in a dangerous or uncomfortable situation.
Well, we did have a little bit of communication with the outside. We were using satellite text messaging with another member of our group that would be coming in later, where we found out their permit got canceled due to conditions. He said, you know, as far as wind direction, where the fires were, we weren't in immediate danger, but that changed very quickly.
So, Quinn, pick the story up from there.
So, it was Monday morning, and Monday throughout was fine. You know, we could still see the smoke on the horizon. No signs that, like, that told us that we had to leave. It was the next day, however. I woke up and I smelled smoke. You know, that's unusual. When I eventually woke up, you could just see the outside, it was full of smoke, you know. The smoke was in the air. It was everywhere. It was like it was foggy, but you could definitely tell it wasn't a fog. It was smoke.
Could you breathe okay?
Yeah. The conditions weren't so bad. It really varied. So we decided to leave around, I would say, 10. The conditions as we traveled varied dramatically. Like, where we started out, it was okay, you know. It was breathable, you know. It was just the smell of smoke. And then the sooner we travel, like, inland, trying to get out, you could tell there's different waves of, like, heavier smoke, lighter smoke, heavier smoke. And it also didn't help that the wind was blasting really, like, hard and fast, you know, because we are also, you know, kayaking from place to place as well as walking. So
they didn't make you leave. You said you decided to leave. So your group said, okay, this is getting a little bad and this isn't for us anymore?
Based on conditions and getting pieces of information, person by person, as we were all assisting each other in getting out, that rangers would be coming, telling people that they needed to evacuate, that other people were getting pulled out to the west of us, that there was a Canadian wildfire about 20 minutes northwest. And just with how truly awful the wind was, it wouldn't have taken very long, uncontrolled, to reach our location.
Describe how you got out.
We were lucky. It did take us almost 2 hours extra to get out with how many different people were trying to exit the boundary waters. And with, you know, a lot of folk who, power to them, were in their older years going out trying to enjoy the time out there, but needed a little extra assistance in getting out in a timely manner. It took about 4 to get in, almost 6 to get out. And as Quinn was saying, the smoke was so varied. At some points, it was orange to the west that you might think that there's a fire right on the other side of the hill.
With kids out of school, most would tell you the best thing for their mental health is to get outside. But the outdoors have been dangerous this week. Here's more on youth mental health from WWJ in Detroit.
A national nonprofit, Kaboom, has released a new report highlighting a frightening escalation of mental health crises among America's youth. Lisa Ratliff with Kaboom joins us on the live line. What does the report show?
Something we tuned into these past couple of years is our kids are not okay. The numbers are shocking. So, you know, when we look at the mental health and where our kids are over the past 7 years, their mental health and behavioral health issues have increased by 35%. 4 in 10 of our students are reporting persistent sadness. On and on I can go.
And in terms of, are they depressed or are they, what's happening with them?
There's a couple of things happening. So one that we've tuned into the report, the disappearing playground and the emergence of screen time. and what screen time is doing to our young minds, screen addiction that is taking away from real life experiences that are affecting their mental health and really their sense of belonging in their community and with their friends. The lack of movement in their bodies is having physical consequences. And we also highlighted the lack of access to nature and just really being embedded in experiences that touch and experience nature, which have all sorts of benefits in itself. And so, you know, it's not just a matter of depression. It's a matter of living lives that are overscheduled, that have high expectations on things like high grades, high competitive environment, and not really tuned into the importance of this chapter of their life, which is really about laying a foundation for them in the world, giving them space and grace to be able to play, to be young people, to be children. They learn through play. They learn through their real life experiences. And somewhere along the line, adults, policymakers, all of us have really deprioritized those just more natural things that need to happen during that youth and adolescent stage of life.
Where can people find out more about this report?
Yeah, if you go to kaboom.org /SOOK, State of Our Kids, you can download the report. There's also a nice summary there.
Let's lighten things up with some news that could raise everyone's dopamine level. Halloween.
Why are these stores jumping the gun on Halloween earlier than ever before?
Well, because it's the greatest time of the year, isn't it? Like, here we go. It's Halloween time. But, yeah, I mean, this is really a big deal now for retailers. And we've seen it more and more every year. But a lot of this now goes back to TikTok and Instagram, that this is the time of the year when there are influencers on social media who are making it a big business to focus in on, and they've got a lot of followers waiting for it, when the Halloween merch is available and when big retailers are beginning to drop what they've got. It's called a code orange alert on social media, that those who follow the Halloween trends, they will put out a code orange alert that this store now has their stuff out. And retailers, they want to be the ones that everybody's talking about online to go in and buy their stuff. And the longer that they can extend the buying period, the more money they make on that and the less they have left over on the end of it. But the likes of Home Depot and Lowe's and Michaels and Walmart, they want to be the ones that everybody's talking about. Posts on TikTok are up 253% in the last couple of weeks for Code Orange, declaring that items are out there. And retail experts say that this is something that the retailers are really jumping in on. It's also dubbed Summerween, the early start to the spooky season, and they've got stuff. I mean, Lowe's, yeah, they made waves a couple of years ago with their big animatronic Skelly, which has the like video eyeballs on it, the computerized eyeballs. They've got more this year, a bigger offering of the Skelly type animatronics. Michaels is rolling out 6 different sets of Halloween decor, the biggest assortment they've ever had. Bath and Body Works, they've got new scary scents that they have put out. Cracker Barrel is bringing items into its Old Country store. Even IKEA has gotten all in on Halloween now. So more and more retailers are saying they're ready to do it now, and they want to get people in and buying Halloween.
All right, Alex, we've talked about Halloween now in July. Does that mean that other holidays are now going to get pushed up? Are we going to start seeing Christmas stuff in September? Are we going to start seeing Thanksgiving items probably in August? Is that what's going to happen with retailers going forward?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we've seen it with Christmas stuff for a while. I mean, really, if you go to like a Costco or a Sam's Club, it's not unusual to see all of this super early. But now the other big names are getting in on it too. I was at a Sam's Club this week, and they've got all their stuff out and their animatronics. By the way, they also have, if you like those, you know, those flat pretzels, the snack pretzels.
I love those.
They've got them covered in a pumpkin spiced cream. Every year they sell out immediately. Anyway, they've got them in stock now. So I got myself 3 bags of those. But I was at Costco last night. They've got costumes out already. And so if you do like waiting, though, the pumpkin spice latte at Starbucks is not going to be out until August 26th. So they are waiting more for the traditional time, even though everybody else is going early. Starbucks is not.
Alex, you're not one of those people who loves pumpkin spice, are you?
Oh, I am, 100%. Give me pumpkin spiced anything right now. It is, like I say, it's go time. Like, let's do this. It's practically Halloween right now.
Despite the fact you like pumpkin spice, you're still my favorite ABC News correspondent. He's Alex Stone joining us.
Thank you for listening to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey. On Deadline is written and produced by me, Christy Strasser, and by Lauren Barry. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts.